from at all. Nice. And each of them proposes a project, and they know exactly what policy they're going to promote and who they're going to target and how they're going to do it. As a coalition, we do it, but we also give money out to our community partners to do the work as well. We also receive money from the Public Health Division of the Oregon Health Authority, so specifically the Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention Section, or HPCDIP. So Health Promotion and Chronic Disease Prevention Section. So they give us money to work toward policies on their interest areas, which are healthy eating, active living, tobacco prevention, alcohol prevention, and drug prevention. So we work really closely with our public health tobacco prevention specialists and alcohol and drug prevention specialists. We were really involved the last year with the tobacco retail license in Corvallis and updating it so it would be more reflective of the current situation in Corvallis.
Okay, good.
And I don't know if you know anything about what happened there, but...
No, what happened there? Fill us in.
So Corvallis and Benton County are some of the few jurisdictions in Oregon that actually have a tobacco retail license. So in order to be able to sell tobacco in Corvallis and Benton County, you need to be licensed by the county. So not anyone can sell tobacco in our region. And we were one of the earliest jurisdictions to put that in place, which was, I want to say, in the late 90s.
Okay.
But back then, e-cigarettes and vaping wasn't really a thing that people did. And the original policy had nothing about, had no limitations on where people could open tobacco establishments. So over time, we noticed that, well, vaping and e-cigarettes weren't really being covered by that license.
Right.
So technically anyone could sell those. We noticed that most tobacco retail establishments were concentrated in low-income neighborhoods, in neighborhoods that have a lot of people of color and immigrants. Like in Corvallis specifically, there's a corridor on 9th Street and a corridor on Southtown and then around the campus.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes close to schools as well. So we wanted to change the license to include the e-cigarettes and the vaping products under its umbrella. And then to also make sure that no new retail establishments could sell tobacco within 1,000 feet of an existing establishment or within 1,000 feet of a school. So we were involved with the efforts for advocating for that change to
go through. And so are the e-cigarettes and the vaping, are they now covered under the licensing?
Yeah, both of the things were approved by the city of Corvallis last year and should be in place now. And and we did work with a lot of community partners for that. So we had the Benton County epidemiologists come and show exactly where the establishments were located and how that correlated with demographics.
Yes.
We had community members come and talk about how they felt their kids were being targeted by advertising.
Yes. Because it is a concerted effort, you know. I mean, that's been shown. And
so there's that. That's one of the four avenues for funding. We also received some money from our local CCO, Coordinated Care Organization, and we're using that money to do health equity summits and trainings and some technical assistance in our area. So yeah, so we want it to be this year-long and hopefully more than a year conversation with healthcare providers and social service agencies and community members about what is health equity, why does it matter, what are some of the health equity issues in our area, what kinds of trainings they need, and then bring those trainings to Lynn, Benton, and also Lincoln County.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that district. Yeah.
Yeah, which is our coordinated care organization covers those three counties. So we're going to try to promote those programs in those three counties. So that's really exciting.
Yes.
And then the last project that we have going is funded through the Meyer Memorial Foundation.
Oh, yes.
And it's a housing advocacy project. And we're trying to recruit and train community members to become housing advocates. And we're focusing on recruiting people of color and low-income people in Corvallis. We're starting in Corvallis, and ideally, in the future, we would like to expand it to other places, too, but...
What would a housing advocate be?
So we want to train people on how to talk about housing, so how to effectively talk to a policymaker about why home matters and the importance of supporting affordable housing policies in our community.
Yes.
And then we know that in Corvallis, there are several policies that are going to be voted on over the next couple of years that have the potential to improve housing access and housing affordability.
Oh, good.
And we've noticed that a lot of times there are advocates for housing,
yes,
housing affordability and housing access, mm-hmm, but they tend to be the same people and they tend to come from the same demographic, which is, you know,
yes,
the same service providers, the same nonprofits,
mm-hmm,
that have been over and over and over.
Right.
And we want to train a more diverse set of community members to come and help show City Council and show other stakeholders why these things matter,
uh-huh,
basically.
Oh, very good. Very
so we have a lot of things going on.
Lots going on. Okay, and I can already tell we've pretty much reached the end of our time here. And so I'd like to invite you to do a second part of this, mm-hmm, interview, Clarice, and we can continue talking about your work because it's fascinating. It is so, so dense. It is so chock full what you're doing, and it all sounds fascinating and good stuff. So
yeah, it's all exciting stuff, and it's all things that our community members can take advantage of.
Yes.
Like our meetings are as open as possible.
Mm-hmm.
We offer interpretation from English to Spanish or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
We try to offer food. We try to have it in accessible places. Our trainings are free and open to the public. So
excellent.
Really anyone that's interested in learning more about these things or getting involved can,
okay,
can join us.
Is there a website that people could access to find out when meetings are happening and whatnot?
So we have information on the Willamette Neighborhood Housing Services website, which
okay
is www.w-nhs.org.
Yes.
Since we are housed on Willamette Neighborhood Housing Services,
mm-hmm,
we also have a Facebook page that you can find just by typing Lynn Benton Health Equity Alliance.
Beautiful.
I believe the address is facebook.com/ Lynn Benton HEA.
Excellent.
We do announce pretty much everything on Facebook, and we also have a mailing list that people can sign up for.
Okay.
And the easiest way to get on the mailing list is to send me a message at lynnbentonhea@gmail.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you very much, Clarice. I will have you back for part two to
yeah
talk a bit more about your work.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. You've been listening to Valley Views. I'm your host, Dale Holliday, and I'd love to hear from you. Comments, questions, ideas for future topics, or other matters you would like explored. Email me at valleyviews@kbu.org. That's valleyviews@kbu.org. Special thanks to Chad Howard from Corvallis Access Media for his technical assistance and support. I look forward to being with you again next time. And remember, as Doctor Who once said, I'm not in charge, but I'm full of ideas. Bye!
I'm Dennis Bernstein.